The Da Vinci Code first appeared on the New York Times fiction bestseller list more than 2 years ago. Today it remains in the top five. With its literary stew of science, religion, suspense, and art history, Dan Brown's fourth novel has defined and energized an enormous audience, which book publishers believe is hungry for the next Da Vinci Code-like read. As Martha Woodruff from member station WMRA reports, lots of money is being spent to exploit that appetite.
Regan Arthur is senior editor at Little Brown, which is rumored to have spent $2 million for a first novel called The Historian, due to be published in June. Although the book's plot mixes history, suspense, and arcane information, Arthur won't say it was a vision of the Da Vinci Code's 18 million buyers heading back to the bookstore that drove the purchase.
Everybody would love to find a book that catches hold in a similar way, but you can't make that magic happen twice. There was a bookseller asked recently what he's looking for, and he said, the next Da Vinci Code. And he said, what are you not looking for? And he said, any book being pitched as the next Da Vinci Code, because we're all sort of claiming it, or many people are, but it's not clear how many can actually deliver it.
The act they're trying to follow is nothing short of a publishing phenomenon. The code referred to is buried in Da Vinci's paintings, and if cracked, it would divide the Christian church. Suzanne Herz, vice president and executive director of publicity at Doubleday Broadway, was in charge of creating and maintaining the buzz around the Da Vinci Code. Her campaign is generally considered to be masterful, but hers is quick to credit Brown's book itself for the massive sales.
Dan really hit a nerve when he started talking about religion and science and art colliding. There are so many questions in the world about what direction we're going in the case of science and religion. People liked thinking about it in this way.
Charlotte Abbott, book news editor for Publishers Weekly, thinks that when the code came out, the market was primed for just such a book.
I would say even before September 11th, there was a trend in fiction and nonfiction toward kind of founding principles, getting back to the basics in our culture, and a lot of people questioning the church. So he tapped into that. He tapped into the question of the Holy Grail and whether, you know, secrets had been hidden through the centuries, and the question of Jesus's bloodline. There are just a lot of people out there who are very interested in that.
Sophie Cottrell, vice president and associate publisher at Little Brown, says the Da Vinci Code expanded the market for fiction.
He had to be reaching out to people who don't normally buy a hardcover book, who don't have a favorite author, who just want a great read. I think he drove people to bookstores, and he drove people online to buy a book, and it was a different experience for them, that they felt that kind of enthusiasm for a book. It's an exciting thing for publishing, for those of us who then can sort of tap into this new, very avid audience looking for something that will give them the same kind of satisfaction as a reader.
Publicists are generally not comparing their offerings directly to the Da Vinci Code. That would seem too obvious. But they are trying to position their novels as having similar, multifaceted appeal. Publishers Weekly recently ran an article called Contending for the Da Vinci Legacy, which promises that, quote, between February and June, at least a dozen new titles will land in stores in an unstoppable flow not seen since Bridget Jones' Diary inspired the phrase chick lit. As an example, here's Ellen Archer of Hyperion talking about The Third Translation, a literary suspense novel that blends fact and fiction.
At the center of the book is the mystery of the ancient tablet, which is called the Stela of Pazar. There are three translations, three ways to crack the code of this tablet, and two have been discovered, but there remains a third yet to be discovered.
Here's Regan Arthur of Little Brown talking about The Historian.
It's got a sort of classic setup, a quest. It has a father-daughter story. It has fantastic drama to it and mystery and suspense, and it also has a very endlessly appealing mystery at its heart involving Dracula.
Another book that's hoping to pick up some hungry Da Vinci Code readers is Scribner's Year of the Hyenas, set in ancient Egypt and the reign of Ramses III. Author Brad Geekley.
Historians have long known about his mysterious end. about a so-called harem conspiracy, but they didn't know why it failed. And my idea was to make a film noir about the poor fumbler who stumbles upon this plot and sees that it's put down.
My name is Michael Katzenberg, and I'm co-owner of Bear Pond Books, a very independent bookstore in the state capital of Vermont.
Over the past 2 years, how often have you been pitched a book claiming to be the perfect next read for the Da Vinci Code audience?
Oh, about every other sales call.
Marketing that hangs books squarely on the Da Vinci Code coattails is not always limited to novels that were written after its publication. Chicago Review Press is reissuing Theodore Roszak's 1991 novel Flicker, which it describes as containing Da Vinci Code-like themes of secret religious iconography woven into art. The flicker refers to the space in between the frames of a film. Wayne Terwilliger, trade book buyer at the University of Virginia, thinks Flicker is a terrific read as well.
Flicker is more intelligent, more gripping, more devastating than the Da Vinci Code. And it's a little bit more demanding. And it ranges from film to theology to ethics. It's got everything.
The Da Vinci Code probably hasn't been out long enough for any direct knockoff thrillers to be hitting bookstore shelves. The books being released this spring were already in the pipeline, lucky enough to be offered to publishing houses at just the right time. For NPR News, I'm Martha Woodruff.